Have you ever missed something and wished you could go back and get another chance? I have. And in church history, there are many times where if we could go back and change something, the course of history would be changed. Now, of course, we know and trust the sovereignty of God. But some of these events would have changed literally the course of history. Kublai Khan, in 1269, sent a request from Peking to Rome. He said, "We want to become Christians." And so he messaged the Pope and he said, "Would you please send to us 30 missionaries to evangelize us so that the whole nation can become followers of Jesus?" The Pope received this message and instead of rejoicing and sending 30, he grabbed two monks and sent them. They got about halfway and were worn out and stopped. And then turn around and came back, and I suppose the rest is history. It's a massive world-changing miss. We as God's people want to make sure that we don't miss opportunities that He gives us, that we stay relational, we stay close to Him, and our relationship with Him then drives and defines who we are and what we have done. It's our longing as a congregation not to miss Christmas. That's been our theme. We have said before, and you have heard probably many times, the inconvenience of Christmas Day falling on a Sunday, when in actual fact, it's one of the richest opportunities for us to gather together and to celebrate Jesus. I had someone ask me, "Well, isn't it okay to stay home? And isn't it okay to be with your family on this day?" And my answer is not to judge others, not to judge other churches, and to encourage you not to do that, but also to, with this celebration, with this worship service, make a statement that on Christmas Day, and God willing, on every day, Jesus is the most important person to us in the universe, more important than our traditions, more important than our families, more important than everything and anything else. And if we live this way, then we will discover that when we have finished our lives, and again, seeking to live today forward, not missing opportunities moving forward, if we are to live this way, relationally committed, relationally saying, "Jesus, you matter more to me, you're my greatest treasure," if we are to live this way, then we will discover at the end of our lives a God who says to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And so we've looked at people in the Bible who missed Christmas, missed the greatest event in their lifetime, and certainly one of the top two or three in all of history. And we started with the innkeepers, and they missed because they were so busy, busy with good things, perhaps, but so busy that they missed out this opportunity not only to celebrate birth with a young Jewish couple, but to see the birth of the Messiah. They missed out, and the record of their great miss will go on throughout eternity. And then we saw Herod, and we saw a man who was selfish, a man who was concerned about his own stature, his own values. He knew the truth, believed the truth, and then valued himself so much more than Jesus that in that belief went and committed murder. His self-protection created pain, his sin impacted others, and we said many miss Christmas, the reason for the season, because they're so caught up in self, they're so caught up in protecting their own rights or choosing their own sin that they miss out on the greatness of relationship with Jesus. And then we saw last night that there are many common people, people in Bethlehem and Jerusalem and Israel and all of the world who had no idea what was going on. Had they known and believed, they would have rushed as quickly as they could to get to Bethlehem. They would have wanted to go and to worship the Messiah with the shepherds and the wise men and then everyone else that would go, and yet so few, in fact, we know of none, actually went and enjoyed this great event. The common people, Herod, the innkeeper, missed Christmas. And our encouragement has been, let's not be like these people. Let's see what God is doing. Let's see the opportunities that He's giving us. Let's see life through His eyes. And let's engage in such a way that our lives matter, that we live the life that He has called us to live, that we notice the good deeds which He has prepared in advance for us to do, that we don't come around to this time next year and go, oh, if only I would have lived in a different way. If only I would have been committed to Jesus and noticed what He wanted me to do. We want to be those who get it and live it and treasure Jesus. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, if you could open them with me to Matthew chapter 2. I was asked earlier where the best two coverages of the Christmas story are, and I answered Matthew and Luke, although I think really you could say John has a powerful Christmas story as well, and Philippians 2, the verses we're memorizing today, so rich as well. But in Matthew chapter 2, it's outlined for us. And I want us to read the first 8 verses. And the people we're going to notice that missed out today are the religious. We have said perhaps the most of people today that are missing in our generation are those who are the common people. But the saddest for me, not the common people, although that breaks my heart, it's the religious. It's those who know the Bible. It's those who call out and claim to be loyal to Jesus, but actually in their life and with their actions are not displaying that loyalty. In fact, they often ignore in the busyness or religiosity or you fill in the blank what a relationship with Jesus would call them to do. And they continue on in their lives as though He, the Messiah, makes no difference. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, starting in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2, of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is He who has been born King of the Jews? Lots has been said about these wise men. Let us only say what the Bible says. We would say that history has theoretically discovered their skulls. How did they know it was theirs? Well, they say because the eyes were still in and they were facing Bethlehem. I say probably not, although you can still go see those skulls. They're on display in churches that believe that those things have value. What do we know? Well, we know where they were from, at least in terms of direction. We think probably from the area where Daniel had been one of the wise men and had taught, and perhaps they'd heard message of the Messiah through Israel when Israel was there in captivity, and now they'd seen this star. They knew something was going on, something tremendous, something overwhelming, and so they travel and they want to see the one who has been born King of the Jews. They knew enough in terms of special revelation as to who He was and who He would be. And they want to see Him. They want to worship Him. For we saw His star when it rose and have come to worship Him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. All Jerusalem, some scholars say, just the religious, I think, beyond the religious, for they would have shared. There was this disturbance that occurred, but certainly, we're going to find out in just a minute, the religious rulers were disturbed. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Now, Christ here, not the last name of Jesus, although often we say Jesus Christ. It's the word for anointed one or Messiah. Where's the Messiah to be born? And they told him, answering correctly, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Could there be greater news? The Messiah is coming to Bethlehem, and He will be the ruler, the greatest ruler of all time, of all history. He will shepherd Israel, and from prophecy beyond Israel, the whole world, for all eternity. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. We know he was a liar and a murderer, and self-protective and missed worshiping Jesus and missed killing Jesus. But the group I want us to focus on here, the group that the text causes us at least to hesitate on as we see Jesus has come, as we see this star, as we rejoice in the greatness of the promise being fulfilled, the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, are these religious people as described in our text. Notice, he assembled the chief priests, the scribes of the people, and inquired of them. Well, we don't know exactly who they were by name. The first among the chief priests was the high priest, set apart by God, although by this time in culture it had become quite a political stand. There was only supposed to be one. It was supposed to be for life. But because of the politics invading religion, there were perhaps many high priests at this time, some former ones, some new ones. It was who paid the most, who had the most political clout. They were brilliant. They represented God. They went into the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement and offered a sacrifice for the sins of all the people. They were to represent God to the people, especially the high priest, although there were many others. The ruling priests who were part of the Sanhedrin, and this was kind of the supreme court of the ancient Israel society. They were important. They were smart. They knew their Bibles well. In fact, many of them had memorized almost the entire Old Testament. They could quote it by heart, and they had all sorts of patterns for remembering and reflecting upon and trying to obey, building lives that they thought would matter to the Messiah. They knew the Messiah was to come. They knew the promises. There were scribes among them as well, as the text identifies. These are the ones that actually kept track of the scriptures. It kept track of what to obey and how to obey. Kind of the scholars among the priests. These are the uppity-ups of the religious society. And so what can we learn from them as we discover that when they allowed the wise men and the ruler, Herod, to know where the Messiah would be born, the Christ child, they completely ignored their own directions. They were apathetic. They missed out not because they didn't know. They missed out not because they weren't aware of the timing and the place. They missed out because they really didn't care. Well, let's discover a few things about them and let's try to learn from them so that we never miss out when we have the opportunity to be a part of the plan of God. Maybe not like this in terms of a Christmas celebration, the first of many, but for sure with good deeds that will impact eternity. Sometimes when we go back to the scriptures and we read them, we long that we could be there and see this, and I do long for that. But the Bible tells us that if we know Jesus, truly, relationally know Him, not if we're religious, but if we have a relationship with Him by grace through faith, the Bible tells us that God has prepared good works for us to do in advance. In other words, He's got a plan for us. There's events for us that we're to watch for and anticipate and live out and be a part of impacting eternity. And so when we say don't miss Christmas, we mean far more. Don't miss out on all that God has for you. Don't miss out on this relationship that can drive and define you. Don't miss out on a full devotion to Jesus. So what do we learn from these religious leaders, these religious spiritual superstars? Well, we notice first two positives. The first positive, they were advanced in Bible knowledge. They were, as we have said, the biblical scholars of the day. They were word saturated. They studied the Bible. They added to it, which we, of course, would caution against. And some of them took away from it. In fact, there are many debates that we can still read on today. Some about the resurrection that we can read in the Bible. And there were other schools of thought. But they were Bible scholars. They saw the value of the Bible, the Old Testament for them. And they knew it well. They were word saturated. They loved to study. In fact, they even sought, in their limited understanding, to live it out in a pattern that they created for themselves. Not a biblical pattern. In fact, Jesus will warn us against them in His life. This is his birth, and we see they know where he is to be born. This is it. They go to Micah 5. They say, this is what the prophet said. The Messiah would be born here. They had a Bible knowledge. And if we want to have an impact for Jesus, if we don't want to miss out, then we need to have a Bible knowledge. They had that. That's a positive. Secondly, they even anticipated the Messiah. Not only did they have this Bible knowledge, but they had this longing for the Christ to come to save them from the Romans, to give them salvation. Now they wanted temporary salvation, but they saw it as great. The Jewish nation would rule the world. This was amazing. We want the Messiah to come because we are so trapped in our temporary times. We want him to come. Now the word Christ or Messiah comes from the word to smear or to anoint. And God anointed special people for special tasks. You'll see this in the Bible. And here is the anointed one, the primary anointed one. And they wanted him to come, the long-awaited king in the line of David, the one who would rule over Israel forever. They knew 2 Samuel 7:13. They knew 2 Samuel 22:51 and Psalm 89:4 and so many other Bible passages. And so as they would sit around and debate and sit around and judge others, one of the ways that they would pass their time is to talk about the Messiah, and maybe he was going to come soon. And yet they missed it. Every opportunity allotted to them, the sign given to religious, pagan religious, the wise men, now the sign communicated to the godly, quote unquote, religious. And the pagans get it, and the followers of this religion, the right religion, by the way, miss it completely and don't get to celebrate and be a part of the coming of the king. And that's the third place I want us to stop. The negative, they were advanced in Bible knowledge, they anticipated the Messiah, but they missed their Messiah. They missed the opportunity. This, perhaps for me, the biggest shock in all of those that missed are these people. They should have known better. That they should have been aware. Well, they were aware. They should have moved on their awareness and laid everything else aside. I hope if this was me, I love to study the Bible. I love to memorize what's here. I love to debate with others and interact with others and discuss with others and try to understand what the Word of God teaches. And I hope if this message had come to me, I would have jumped up from whatever I was doing as a pastor and I would have said, let's go, and grabbed as many of you as would come with me, and we would rush the 7-kilometer journey to Bethlehem, and we would find the king, and we would worship, we would adore, we would sing praises to him. I know you wouldn't follow me, but I'd bring Les along and it would be good. They didn't move. In fact, what we see in the text is nothing. They heard the news, they gave their report, they studied their Bible, they said the truth, they gave what was right, and then they just kept on as if their knowledge of Jesus, their religious ways, only impacted the religious part of their lives, not this relational part that would drive and define and lay aside everything else, all traditions, all other relationships, that they would know Jesus and follow Jesus and be loyal to him. Why did they miss their Messiah? And the answer is in the title of the message for this morning. They had religion. Religion is sometimes used as a positive word in the Bible, and I want you to understand here I'm using it negatively. I'm using it in terms of they had a pattern of life to try to get to know God, to try to be right with God, but they never had a relationship with him by grace through faith. They missed out on relationship. They were busy trying to please God on their own, in their own ways, and they missed a relationship that causes you to lay everything else aside. See, on Christmas, we celebrate a gift that is so great. We gather together to worship, not only because it's a Sunday, but today is the day we celebrate that Jesus came. And our memory verse, you probably picked these up and you probably be memorizing them, but and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I just want to do a full stop as we talk about how we apply this to our lives. Well, we are religious. If you weren't religious, you wouldn't be here. By that, I mean we're willing to take side some time on maybe the most important family day of the year. And we're willing to gather together as God's family. And I believe this is the right thing to do. I believe this is what we should do. I believe He should be our priority. Not because of our religion. Not because it's just the right thing to do. Although perhaps those are important. But because we love Jesus more than anyone or anything else. They missed the Messiah. We know that the Messiah came not only in this beautiful birth that we celebrate today, but He came in human form so that He could humble Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. We know perfect obedience. And then it says, even death on a cross. When we start to grasp the richness of why Jesus came, it changes everything else. I mean, you can be like the high priest and all the priests and scribes and religious leaders, and you can know your Bible, and you can still ignore the Messiah. But if you know the Messiah, everything else changes. And you say, well, why? And the answer is because when you receive and are impacted by His love, your life changes. Not only are you forgiven of your sin, not only are you transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, not only is your eternity changed in terms of where you will spend that eternity now in the presence of the living God, but also now you have this purpose in life. You have been loved so overwhelmingly that you will not be able but to help to love others and to love God with all that you are and all that you have and the passionate pursuit of those who truly know the Messiah, who don't ever miss out on Christmas, is relational. I want to know Him. I want to love Him. I want to experience His love. And I want all of my life consumed with this one driving passion. This one thing I do. I want to know Him. I want to live for Him so that you could describe my life. To live is Christ. To live is the Messiah. To die is gain. Notice Paul doesn't say to gain knowledge, although we need knowledge. That was a positive. But it's a relational choice, a relational submission, a relational delight. We have many opportunities in the coming year if Jesus chooses not to return. Opportunities to serve. I was reading as I was preparing for this message of an opportunity that Billy Graham had. He was a friend of presidents. And he was with a president named John F. Kennedy shortly before Kennedy became famous for what he became famous for. And they were riding together in a car and talking back and forth. And the president stopped the car. He said, stop, I want to talk. And he said, do you believe in the second coming of Jesus? The Billy Graham. Billy Graham answered, of course I do. And then they interacted back and forth in terms of what Kennedy's church believed and the differences. And they talked a little bit, then he had the car move forward, and he said, I'd like to talk to you about this again at some time, please, Billy. Billy said, of course. But a year later, they were together again. It was at a prayer breakfast, and Billy did his thing, and the president did his, and then they were again together, and the president turned to Billy, and he said, Billy, I'd like to ride back with you in my car, and then I'd like you to come see me. I have some questions I really need to ask you. And Billy at the time had a horrible flu, a sore throat, and so he said, Mr. President, if it's okay, I don't want to make you sick. If it's okay, I'd rather not ride back with you. Let's do it again some other time. And you probably know that that other time was interrupted with a shot, or perhaps more than one, and President Kennedy was murdered. The chance was missed. We have opportunities, and I don't want this to be a service of heaviness where we look back at opportunities we've missed, and for some of us, they're horrible. For others, we are just beginning that journey, and we will look back at a later date. Rather, what I would like us to do is together look forward and to say, what are the opportunities that I will have in the coming year? Now, you might say to me, but Pastor, we won't know what those are. And I would answer, of course not, but I know how we can live in such a way that we won't miss them. And here's the secret to not missing Christmas every day of the year. Or maybe more importantly, not missing what it means to be a follower of Jesus every day of the year. Here's the secret. It's relational. Here's the secret. We know Him and we long to make Him known. Here's the secret. We realize that although we want to be those who are word saturated, that is one of our deep passions as a church, although we want to be those who understand what the Word of God says and to work our lives out in a way that's ordered, that follows what the Bible teaches and fights against those who fight against the Word and seeks to love them into the kingdom and be very clear on what we believe, we want to be like the high priests and the scribes in that way. But we want more. We want what they didn't have. And so this precious day is a reminder for us to be fully surrendered to Jesus. To be those who Ephesians 2:10 would remind us to look for the opportunities He's prepared for us. To know John 17:3 and to love it. And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus, the Messiah, whom You have sent. That we would be relationally devoted to Jesus as our first love. One of my favorite churches, it's my perhaps favorite book in the Bible, although that changes sometimes, is the church in Ephesus. Planted by godly people, grown around people that knew Jesus perhaps better than anyone else. We think that was John's church. We think that was Mary's church, the mother of Jesus. This church, very early on in their history, we find this in Revelation, is a great church. They're doing things right. They're fighting against evil. They know their Bibles well. But Jesus says, I have this one thing against you. You have forsaken your first love. So here's my challenge for us this Christmas. That we would be a people fully devoted to Jesus. That with open hands we would say, here I am, take me, I surrender all. Amazing love. I will give You all that I am and all that I have, and know that there's no way I can pay You back, but I can show You that I understand and have experienced Your love because I love You. So my strong counsel, pleading, desire for my own heart, and for you, is that we will recognize these people that have missed Christmas, not in a condemning way, not in a way that says, oh, judge them, I'm better, but rather in humility that says, God, would You forgive me for being too busy? Would You free my life so that I can focus on You and not miss out? God, would You forgive me for being narcissistic and focused on myself and not dying to self and being concerned about my own value and my own being and my own right to rule, and I want to surrender everything to You. God, would You forgive me for not noticing and just being like a common person and ignoring what You're doing in the world? And God, would You forgive me for being biblical and yet not passionate about my relationship with You? And would 2017 for Cloverdale Baptist Church be a year where we are consumed with a first love devotion to Jesus? And it shows. It shows because we're so full of Him that when people come into contact with us, they see His grace and love. Merry Christmas. Let's not miss it this year or any day in the coming year. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the privilege of being able to study Your Word. Thank You for each person You have brought here to worship You and exalt Your name this morning. We acknowledge that You are sovereign and You are over all things. We rejoice that You are good and all that You do is good, and we long to be a people who submit fully. God, we pray for Your blessing on the rest of our service and our lives. And would You help us to be relational, to love you above everything and everyone else, and to be so exclusively devoted to you that it shows in each choice we make. Thank you. We love you. We surrender to you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.